This is Comedy Potpourri. This is Paul.
And this is Alan.
And today we are going to talk about engineering humanity.
Crazy confirmations and or stuff that we uncovered during both of our researches. Oh my God. I had no idea that when I told Paul about what our next topic was going to be, it's like, oh, and he just latched onto it right away. It's like, oh, yeah.
That's kind of the way you came across on it.
Yeah. But for me, it's just like, is humanity evolved or is it engineered? ? And it was put in big quotations.
Well, let's start from the beginning. Okay. What we thought. Okay.
From the beginning.
In the beginning. After 7 days and nights, Adam and Eve Adam was made, and then Eve was made out of Adam's rib.
Correct. I've got a great joke about that.
Okay, yeah.
But that's just me.
And if you know anything further about that, Lilith was before that, but we won't get into all that.
Ooh.
Technically, if you believe in that, in your faith and believe in that, God just all of a sudden snapped his fingers, and they were engineered by whatever he had together and produced them.
Correct.
So they were engineered by God.
For the Christian creation myth, basically, God came upon upon the face of the earth, and
yes,
it was without form, and he cruised across the ocean waters and stuff like that, and then suddenly he willed it into that. Now, he formed Adam out of
mud and clay.
Mud and clay.
Yeah, mud and clay, yeah.
Right? Okay, and that is one of the interesting aspects of the creation myth.
He's a golem. For those in Jewish religion,
yes,
they know what that would be.
And it's a nasty, nasty kind of curse kind of situation.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah, I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
So he was engineered.
Correct.
Yeah.
In all this stuff that I came across, and I'm looking at a lot of the creation myths from around the world, Aztec, Chinese, Egyptian, Finnish, Greek, Hindu, Inca, Japanese, Mayan, Mesopotamian, Maori, Norse, Anunnaki.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a heavily influenced one right there. But there are similarities to each one of these creation myths. And the whole idea of the formation of man being created out of clay seems to be one of the biggest ones. The first aspect of creation, at least from my research and stuff like that, shows that a lot of these creation myths always start with, it was like a dark and windy night. Pretty much, I mean, in Aztec, it's like first there was nothing but the void, a void.
Which would be nothing.
Absolute nothingness, but they refer to it as the void, and then out of that void, an entity comes forth, a creator god of sorts, and he comes forth, and because basically just due to will alone, creates this out of nothingness, and then suddenly, boom, here's this created god. Because he willed himself into existence, doesn't have anything else going on, so he decides to create more things around him, and man becomes one of these instruments. Aztec first comes out of the void. Chinese, there's a void, a cosmic egg of sorts, and this a giant god named Pangu comes forth, stretches out his hands in either direction, and actually creates the yin and yang.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yin and yang.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then after many, many centuries or whatever, he is tired and of all this creation that he's brought forth. And then with his death, creates the world around him. His final breath creates the wind. The hair on his face and everything creates the trees. His body creates the earth underneath. His tears create the waters of the ocean.
Wow, that's
everything.
Interesting. Yeah.
And it's like he never has the ability to step forth on this planet. But with his demise, he creates all of this.
Right.
And sacrifice is another part that comes up. So first off, we've got the voids, the nothingness, oceans and darkness, and the Egyptian myths, and Atun, a god willed himself into existence. Another one.
Right.
And then there's the number
Now, remember, these are the gods of God. Of other gods. Like in Egyptian, there's other gods, but that's the number one.
Yeah, and he wills himself into existence.
Wow, how many times is that?
That's another one, all right? And then there's the finish where you have Emitar, who is a woman goddess, who's is floating in nothing but boundless emptiness. Another void. Then there's Venomoinen, who's the son of her, after a bird, I can't remember if it's a crow or something like that, lands on her and lays like 7 eggs on her.
Okay.
But because she's moving through the ether and stuff like that, she becomes pregnant just by the wind alone. Okay, sorry, I'm going to impregnate somebody there. My mistake, my bad. I didn't use any protection.
Anyway, no, you got a spit guard on there. That's fine.
Okay, sorry. Good deal. Thanks, Paul. And then and then Venomoinen is this god who's very wise, and as she shifts, these eggs hatch open, and one of the golden eggs that is hatched becomes the sun.
Oh, wow.
Kind of thing.
Oh,
okay. It was just 7 of these eggs.
Okay.
Like 7 days.
Interesting.
Then, of course, you know about some of the Greek myths, right? Okay, so you had one. Greek has nothing but another void, emptiness, right? And because out of that emptiness comes Gaia.
Gaia.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. Today, Gaia is still considered Earth.
Mm-hmm.
If a lot of people say Gaia, Earth,
yeah,
the mother. You know,
the mother of all,
mother
much.
Of all Earth. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. And so there, out of her, comes the first group of Titans.
Oh yeah, from Kronos.
Yep, and his sister wife. I'm sorry, yes, that just cracks yes, me up when yes, I hear it that. Is. There's always these intermixes of brother sister.
Yeah,
a lot of that happens in the Egyptian mythology as well. But a sister wife named Rhea. Right?
Right.
And then births the Olympians.
Right. Well,
go ahead.
Births them, but Cronus was warned that one of them could be his downfall, so he ate them, except for...
Yep. Except for Zeus.
And Zeus ended up releasing them.
Yeah.
By giving him something to make him throw up. And
yeah.
And they came out. But then... They did something. Didn't they do something to Kronos or something?
They cast him into. Let's see. There's a vast emptiness. There's Kronos, and then there's who's the first god, and he devours a bunch of them. Gaia has Kronos, and
it's just
this weird family dynamic.
That's why
going on.
They have actually a class in college.
Oh my God.
On this.
On the Greek myths.
Yes.
And there's a huge amount of them. So we're going to move on past that because we could talk about them for a while.
Okay.
And then you got the Hindu who has an endless void yet again. And Brahman.
Okay.
Yes.
And if you go back into the Hindu, we can go into the UFO section of that sometime.
Oh, yeah.
Because it actually, in their... texts and graphics show that they're floating and they're and they even in their text said that there's a
big
explosion.
There was talk a lot about when I was doing the research as well. Brahman is an intelligence would be the best way I could describe it, a pure being. So it's a combination of both male female.
Okay.
And then separates himself and forms there's Brahman and then there's Brahma.
Okay.
And then from Brahma divides himself into different things. He, according to Brahma, divided himself, whispered creation into being. Just whispered it.
So now, it's like, yeah.
And then you have Manu, who's like
I
the first...
Alive.
the first humans, Manu. Then you have Vishnu, who's a creator god, and Shiva, who is a destroyer god.
Also, she's also the opposite, too. She does both.
Yeah. And kind of there's these cycles that come around in a lot of these myths, too. Like, certain cycles of humanity will reach a certain point, and for whatever reason, humanity and or the giants, which are a number of different giants constantly being populated in these.
Elam? Is that right?
Nephilim.
Nephilim. That's right. Thank you. Nephilim. Yeah.
So, yeah, in the creation myths, they talk about the Nephilim, which are the children of angels or fallen angels and earthly women.
Which, there's another version
of
that.
They're very comely, as they say.
But we'll get to that. There's another version of that, but we'll get to that.
Then there's Inca.
Yes.
Another beginning of passage over Lake Titicaca. Actually, I know people make fun of that name. It's been ongoing since I was a kid because it just sounds funny to say. But it was a dark void over the water of that lake. And a god just stepped forth, just created himself again, and summoned forth the world. Just summoned it forth, and suddenly, and just out of nowhere, just like, whoa. But there's another great flood that's because of the way that these creatures were created initially from mud,
right?
Giants,
right?
Created out of mud, but they didn't respect anybody or anything like that, so they washed them away. Then they created another group, people made out of wood, wooden people. That's kind of hilarious, personally. But they didn't revere anything. They didn't have any hearts. They didn't have any gratitude for the creation and stuff like that. So they wiped them out too, and then they created man. I'm probably mixing Inca and Mayan.
I gotta tell you, it's almost the Noah story.
And then the Japanese mythology of creation was really interesting because there was initially there's a vast heaven and ocean, and that's all that existed in that area. And then suddenly there was a brother sister that came down from the heavens and worked to formulate a marriage, but because of the way that they came together, unfortunately created monsters in that perceived way. So they asked the gods to help them reconnect and honor their union. And in this particular case, they birthed a number of islands throughout the archipelago,
right,
of islands in Japanese, as well as some other ones. But one of the gods that one of the female Usami, I'm hoping I'm getting the names correct. I have to apologize ahead of time on this because there was so much to cover. Usami had given birth to a fire god, but the fire god burned her so badly during birth that she died, and her husband went into the underworld to retrieve her and bring her back to life. Fortunately, kind of like with Persephone and Hades in Greek mythology.
I was just saying the same thing. Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking this when I was reading it, and it's just like, oh my God, this sounds just, okay, let's continue on, Al. Reading it, she became infuriated. She told her husband, don't look at me because, and he finally saw what she looked like, and it just like, decaying corpse with, riddled with maggots and stuff. It's like, oh, foul stuff. And she said, nope. He barely got out with his life. But because of that, you have an underworld being formed because of it. It was just wild. Maya has an endless sea, void of nothing, within nothingness. And two gods come forth. One which happens to be a feathered serpent.
Oh, that is seen on all their stuff that they have. And I believe the feather serpent.
Kukulkan,
but it's also seen.
Quetzalcoatl.
Depending, in Egypt?
No, not in Egypt. You don't see a feathered. You don't see a feathered serpent there. But there is a feathered. There is a serpent there in Egypt.
Right.
That is on what they call the Uraeus.
Yes.
Which is. Ancient Egypt, and was split into two distinct areas. So you have upper and lower Egypt.
And one was the snake, and one was the crown.
The vulture. The vulture.
The bowling ball. The bowling pin hat.
So some of the gods in ancient Egypt have that particular hat. I don't know what it's called. But they also, above a lot of the gods that are depicted in the pictographs, have like a pair of horns, and then they've got this giant glowing orb up above their heads,
right,
which is called the Uraeus, and it's supposed to represent the sun,
right,
or Ra, the great god Ra. There's again back to the Mayan stuff, they talk about a giant flood again wiping out people. The Norse, that one's a lot more interesting because of the way that the gods start off. Again, there's a nothingness, but it was... I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of the nothingness. They actually gave it a name, but I'll ruin it.
It's like the ether. Just say, ether.
Again, the ether. But then you had come forth... one of the giants had come forth, and then there was the great cow called Ymir that had... was licked a bunch of stuff off of one of the ice blocks of ice, and from that licking or whatever, it's formed a lot of the what we know as Earth or Midgard.
Oh yeah! Oh wow! That's cool.
And then there was a couple other guys, Burmy, who got together with one of the giants or something like that, and had bore. A couple other gods, which we know as Odin, Ve, and Le. And for whatever reason, Odin, Ve, and Le, they're three brothers.
Right.
Kind of like what you have with Zeus.
Right. I was just going to say that.
And exactly. Poseidon, right?
Yes.
So you got three brothers, yeah. Right? But they ended up killing their father, not unlike the way that, Zeus had, committed, against his father.
Right.
There's a lot of patricide going on here.
A lot of incest, too.
Yeah, there's... I don't think I'm part of one of those great houses. I hope not. That means I have to kill somebody. But then we get to the Anunnaki.
Is that your last one?
It is. There's a little bit of crossover between the Mesopotamian one, where there's a Tiamat and Apsu. But I have found that when I've looked at the Anunnaki and a lot of stuff that comes out of Mesopotamia.
Right.
Between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, where we're having one of the big battle going on right now. And I still don't even understand how that even happened yet again. Well, whatever. In that whole area, the Fertile Crescent, the Anunnaki and Mesopotamia stuff seems to correlate with each other. It's just...
Well,
wild.
I have something here. It says that Mesopotamian cylinder seals revealed a startling narrative. Homo sapiens were created as a labor force by Anunnaki.
Yep.
There was a labor force before that, and they revolted. And so they made humanity to work for gold in the gold mines.
Correct. Called the Ajiji.
The Ajiji. And what happened was, Inki, right?
Inki.
And Ile? Inle?
Allele?
Yeah.
Sorry, the names, unfortunately, we're probably going to butcher, so please bear with us.
One is, Inki was the chief scientist. He worked with the genomes. That's easy for me to say. Okay. And humanity class 9 ally. Okay. Inle. Nail El, Earth's Arthurian ruler, tasked with managing gold mining operations.
Okay, now it should be mentioned that the reason why the Anunnaki were coming to Earth to begin with anyway was because that, from what I was picking up and reading and listening to, was that the planet Ninirbu, which... is supposedly on the outskirts of the solar system, right?
Right.
And their whole society was falling into entropy. It was their skies were ridden with just huge volumes of pollution. These golden spires that they had
actually cleaned them up, helped clean stuff up.
So that, well, the idea is that by using gold, which they finally came up on their, like in their 11th hour or whatever, came up with the idea that if we could mine gold, it would be able to purify the atmosphere of their planet from all the pollution that they had placed in it. With that being said, the gold would heal. It can take out and leach out properties within it. It's also a great conductor of electricity and other. A lot of stuff about gold, but it was very rare on the Nibiru. But they had sent out probes without into their solar system, our solar system, and found that the third planet from the sun
has gold.
And it had a vast volume of it. Enki said, you know, we're going to go to this planet. You know, we have no other choice. If we're going to save our society, our way of living, we've got to get this gold from this planet. Now, mind you, the planet is dominated by a bunch of primates. They're humanoid, according to, you know, the Anunnaki. But they're very small. They shouldn't cause any problems with it. There's a vast volume of animal life and other. The Anunnaki, along with the Ijiji, who had been a slave force for them for many centuries. I guess apparently they rebelled.
They're the lesser Anunnakis. So they're like the, guess what? They're the poor Anunnaki.
Well, I guess you could say it. From what I heard was that they had been a conquered slave race.
Okay.
A conquered race that were turned into slaves and were working for the Anunnaki. But once they got to Earth, the Ijiji had to set up their base of operations in the Fertile Crescent. And so they started building the city. They got the city set up ready to go. And they set up the mining things. But the production of gold was so dire that they started to really, really enslave the Ijiji to, it's like, get to work. We need more gold. Finally, the Ijiji rebelled, as you were just talking about. They had to figure out, well, what else can we do? Well, we got this group of hominids over here that can be violent, but they can be taught how to use simple, basic tools.
Right.
And so, along with the Ijiji, they brought in the human force into the whole thing. So they started manipulating, at that point, on a genetic level, supposedly, with mankind. Creation myth of Adam.
Right.
Okay, because they actually crossed part of the Anunnaki DNA with the human DNA.
And right.
Therefore, you got this group of individuals. The Ijiji also interbred with some humans and ended up having some crazy monsters and giants that came out of that,
right?
Which they called the Nephilim.
Yes.
And it's just like, oh my God.
Which is, there's another story about that where the angels came. We'll get to that too, because it's kind of the same thing.
There's a lot of crossover, but the one thing that should be mentioned is that a lot of the Mesopotamian / Anunnaki stuff was written literally, like, I think, 3,000 years earlier than any of the biblical texts.
Yes. Gobel
Tepe?
Yes. They found that there's things there that earliest that they found, right? Earlier than the Sumerians.
Correct.
That there's so much there that they show birds and everything and things that they thought, wow, you know, this is interesting that... it shouldn't be here. And how did they do it? Supposedly, we were still like on, you know, trying to figure things out.
And there were two other hominid races that were coming up here. So you had the Homo erectus, you had the Neanderthal, and then there was actually a third group of hominids. But their brain cases were much smaller, but they were still capable of creating tools and having ritual rites for the dead.
Right.
So that showed that they had some intelligence.
Yeah, they buried their dead, yes. Right.
So why were there only a couple of species, and how did the Neanderthal just die out? Because they were much stronger,
right?
And though they interbred with humanity periodically from time to time, probably not in the best of circumstance. It wasn't like, oh, I love your cranial skull.
Your lizard brain turns me on.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Your lowbrow really, oh, I like the way it furrows.
Your unibrow just gets to me.
Every time. I had heard stories about the development of Neanderthal versus, Homo erectus, and it's just like, what?
So, according to that, is to evolution, which is still, okay, we're still talking
just creative
engineering stuff, yeah. So that as evolution goes, is that we basically cross-pollinated, I always say pollinated, so with other species to get to a certain species. And then that species has to have more than one, right? So that keeps on going and changes. But as we're talking about engineering, as that's going, because of the environment, the different DNA and everything, it's changing their DNA and the way they evolve.
It mutates.
Mutates.
Yeah, it has to. In order for a species to be an actual species and not be a dead end, it has to evolve, or it has to bring forth a new trait so it can survive its environment. And
right.
If that trait is... works good for that particular individual or group of individuals, it's carried on and carried forth. And it's going to be even more so as the species evolve.
Right. One of the things I was looking up, and it's here someplace, it was like 70% of the DNA is not known, I guess.
What they refer to as junk DNA?
Junk DNA.
All right, now.
So what is junk DNA,
Yeah, was it just floating around? It like, so when we have viruses and other things which are partial RNA strands that are just floating around, did it just break off and just kind of float away and just kind of just hang out there? It's kind of like when you watch like a really bad movie, and I'm sorry to say this, Alien Covenant, and you go to the planet of the engineers, right?
Yeah.
And which I think was the impetus of this whole conversation to begin with. You got this stuff that floats around in a fucking spore. And it's
right.
Like, and it's like it goes into his ear hole and suddenly becomes mutated. And then he's got like things popping out of his back and stuff. It's like, oh God, Ridley, what did you do? This is just dumb. There's a bunch of what's junk DNA.
Yeah.
And it's like, but why is it junk DNA?
That's a good question.
I mean, it's still there. It's still in our genes, and we give it to our children who give it to their children, and it continues to replicate. But why is it there?
Well, one of the things that that I'm interested in is trauma and how it affects our DNA. Okay. Certain trauma will affect our DNA. And according to evolution, which would be Darwin, he said that basically that stress can change the DNA. The environmental stress will change the DNA.
And it won't necessarily be a slow change either. It'll be rapid. Basically, people can morph out. It's like when you read an X-Men title. Sorry, I'm going to go back to comics here because it makes it easy to recognize. But when mutants reach a particular age, usually it's puberty is the trigger for a lot of the mutants to gain their powers and
right,
so on like that.
Right.
Some of them are already turned on from the moment that they're born. But in most cases, for like the stuff in X-Men or the Marvel Comics stuff, mutants come into their own when they hit puberty. And it could be anything from like a healing factor, or your body turns to steel. Other mutants like Nightcrawler were probably born with the way they looked initially from the word go.
My favorite.
Yeah, Nightcrawler is one of my favorites,
so,
too.
One of the things about interventionalist theories, okay, It's kind of what we just talked about, all these different religions, is that have noted that across cultures, about beings from the sky and gene mixing, suggesting the past civilizations were not merely creating myths, but recalling specific figures or events.
Specific events. And that's the reason why I latched onto a lot of this, because it seems to me that a lot of these creation myths around the world also have very big commonalities. You have a lot of humanity being formed out of the clay and mud of the earth. It doesn't matter which religion you're talking about, but that seems to be one. The other one is always that you have that initial void, which is there, which is an absolute nothingness, and then suddenly, bam, out of nowhere,
yeah,
you've got this. Now, some people have equated that to the Big Bang. I don't buy
Maybe
that.
Maybe they're talking about birth.
Could be. Could be. I don't know. Possibly.
Because you're in a void, you don't know what's going on.
Well, you know, I thought about that this morning when I was thinking about this, because it's like, before you're born, or you cry or anything, and I'm sure that we all have that memory deep, deep back in the place before the crevices start cracking in our brain casing.
It's warm. I'm being fed. I don't want to go out.
Why are you making me go out, Mom? Why are you making me go out? Kid, you're still tethered to me. Shut up. But you're being birthed, and then suddenly there's light.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay. And then there's also the flood myth, where it seems to be that there's a lot of slavery, that a lot of people rebel all the time, constantly. And there seems to be a cycle of that. There's always this small group of people who are always in charge, trying to control everything. And it's like it gets to a tipping point, and suddenly the slaves rebel.
And in some of these that I'm reading, is that these floods are not just environmentally started, that they are started to clean the slate and start over.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big one from what I understand.
Which is in the Bible. That's what it kind of.
But also remember when we were taking a look at the Anunnaki, there was a, I can't remember the gentleman's name, it was a human. Because the Anunnaki had retrieved all their gold
right.
that they needed to, right?
Yeah.
Retrieved all the gold. They had gone back to Nibiru. And there was a couple of these humans that were left, Apostu and his wife, on a boat or an ark, along with a bunch of animals and another great flood.
Oh, wow.
Again, the creation myth has another catalyst. And I have heard of other tribes here in the Americas that had dealt with a great fire in the sky, a great flood that had taken place, and then beings from the ocean came forth and started teaching these people how to make fire.
Yeah. We covered that in one of our.
It's wild. So there are a lot of this creation theory stuff. Seems to be that there seems to be a outside source, because really, in all honesty, if mankind hadn't been messed with, if we were still just doing what we'd be doing,
right,
where would we be at
flinging poop at each other?
Sweet. Oh my god. Yeah. Thank you, Leslie Nielsen. You will forever be remembered.
Yes, you will. Just to let you know that they said Sumerians were 240,000 years ago. They were advanced. They had wheels. They had irrigation systems and everything else.
And other societies such as the Romans and stuff built upon that. So did the Egyptians and the Greeks.
Yeah.
Right. But they got separated for whatever reason. So,
and there was a time when there was, after that, there was no wheels.
None.
There's no, nothing. Irrigation, nothing. It's time for our stupid period in humanity.
Stupid.
Oh, we seem to forget everything.
You're just waiting for that apple to drop on your head?
Or is that a, okay, here's a conspiracy. Or is it a timestamp in our brains?
Ooh, that's a good question. I feel like sometimes I think that if that were the case, I think it's already been punched.
I think it has several times. Look at we've had, the Romans had flushing, had toilets, running toilets, right? And you go back to France in what, the 1700s? Even the 1700s, they're throwing their stuff out the window, yeah, into the streets.
Don't eat any of the mushrooms that grow there.
And then they're wondering, and then there's the plague and everything else that happened because of certain things.
The Dark Ages were a really vast area. What ended up happening at Alexandria? There was a great loss of knowledge right there because somebody thought it was a good idea. Good job, Alexander.
Of having...
Yeah, just wipe that one out. Just burn it to the ground.
I don't think he did it. Wasn't the Romans? Or no, the...
No, Alexander was named after Alexander.
Right, so it's when the...
Sorry, history lessons are failing me. It's because of that
switch.
From the
Middle East. They came... Well, that is the Middle East. But they came from, like, Peru... Not Peru, but from Persia.
The Persians.
And they came in and they burnt it down, yes.
Boo. Boo Persia.
Which is interesting because they're very knowledgeable.
And what's Persia now?
Iraq, Iran.
Boom.
Yeah.
You're starting something else up right now? Really? Come on. Stop trying to burn the world to the ground. You just got to get used to it, okay? Just deal. Because the gods are coming back. They're coming back.
FYI.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's a rumor of 2027.
Yeah, I heard about this.
About the huge spaceship that's supposed to be coming. Yeah.
It has not been seen,
to tell you the truth. Or maybe it has, and we just don't know.
I'm going to come back to the creation myth here in just a little bit, okay? But so what's up with, have you heard about something about Trump talking about UFO stuff and just divulging stuff?
He's mentioning that he should be doing it, but I'll see it when it happens.
Okay. I've been hearing people really conflate one thing with the other recently.
When it happens, you know.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. But
my Missourian's coming out in me.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not from Missouri.
So modern day, with all the abductions that have been taking place, what ends up happening with the Greys in a lot of cases that they are doing the experiments or the lizard people?
Well, they're saying right now on a lot of these talk radio stuff, some are credible people that I would listen to. Some are like, who's this?
Fringe.
Yeah. And they're saying super fringe hybrids, that they're making hybrids.
Oh, yeah. It's like, and why would you be making hybrids? What are you making them for? Are you making another slave race because the current populace is just, it's not panning out the way you wanted it to? Which makes me feel sometimes exactly what's happening. But also, I like to think that there are some individuals who are better suited to deal with a lot more stuff. And hopefully will steer humanity in the right direction, I hope.
Yeah, there's so many theories about this, that it was the Greys, and then there's the Nordic Whites.
They're Nordics, and then there are the Tall Whites. They're right. Two different groups.
And one's good, one's bad, or something like that.
The Tall Whites seem to have a dispassionate look upon humanity. They are very telepathic in their nature. But they don't like to divulge a lot of information to humanity on a whole, whereas the Nordics, on the other hand, do, from what I've heard.
Right.
Now, I'm hearing two different schools of information, and keep in mind where the sources are coming from. One is Dr. Stephen Greer.
Right.
Right. But the man himself has got a reputation, unfortunately, that kind of makes what he's talking about a little clouded, and it's a little hard for me to believe. But he also came forth at the same time that Ross Coulthart on News Nation was coming forth with a bunch of whistleblowers. Greer says he's got the same kind of information or something similar to coincide, and they both came out at the same time.
Same time, yes.
Some of Greer's stuff is legit, but again, his personal life, and unfortunately a lot of UFO researchers I have found, sometimes their personal lives overshadow the topic that they're trying to talk right. about, and their ego gets the better of them.
Right.
So, it's weird to me.
People are like that, though, but we know. Man. So,
come on, can't we all just get along?
We're talking to the aliens, too.
Yeah, hey, man. I'm hearing dark cabals. Hey, lizard people up on the moon. Quit harvesting souls and sending them back. I know you think fear's all yummy and everything like that, but I think you can find a different kind of secret sauce.
So now, would that mean that we're GMO?
Sure.
We'd have to be.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm already genetically tampered with. Don't be chewing on me, man.
So just remember that, because your environment changes you, and you're not going to be the same.
Nope.
Your DNA will change, even by stress and other stuff. Even exposure to certain radiation will change your DNA.
There's a reason why there are cattle mutilations. You remember what I was talking about earlier about that? So I think you're looking at what our food sources. And if you really want a good episode to watch of anything, watch the original Twilight Zone episode called To Serve Man.
Oh, yes.
It's actually one of the non-written Rod Serling episodes.
We actually, I was getting my haircut the other day and I brought that up.
Oh, man. The thing is, that's really hilarious for me specifically, is I actually lived across the street from that guy who wrote that story.
That's cool. That's too cool.
Damon Knight.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And it's just like, how prophetic he was. Man, I want to go over and shake that guy's hand again.
So the we're going back to engineering here.
Yeah, sorry.
So the engineering part of us, I mean, it's constantly happening.
I'm engineering a souffle right now in my head.
But they're also talking about number one evil person in the world, experiments on engineering.
Oh, you mean Mr. H?
Yes. They tried to crossbred people to see what happened, tried to change, I don't know if they were into, they couldn't do DNA yet, but they were changing things. And he believed that the Aryan race, you had to prolific in the same, like, if they're blue-eyed blonde hair, you need to have somebody that's blue-eyed blonde hair. That's from the Aryan.
They had a number of doctors. I guess at that point, yeah, the idea of actually cracking the code of DNA, they haven't been able to find it yet. They understood the idea.
Right.
Father Mendel came up with a great idea, you know, doing that thing with the wrinkled pea thing. And that kind of set everybody on that whole trajectory. Then you've got the crazy situation that happened in Germany. And it was a terrible, terrible part in our history and so on like that. But it also put on the map that genetics does have something to do with the way that humanity evolves.
Right.
Which is, unfortunately, the worst possible case scenario sometimes does bear bitter fruit, but the fruit's there.
Right. I just hope that the ethics of what doing for genetics now, because they are testing genetics on people, just to tell you that you think they're not, they are. And it's trying to make life better, to live longer, to do all this stuff, but there's side effects, you know?
Yeah. And unfortunately, there are some other countries of the virus of unknown origin. That's the way I'll phrase it, because apparently that's still that particular country has a lot of pull, and they've been using a lot of geneticists to actually genetically engineer children,
right,
based upon what the parents want.
Yeah. So, and that's what it went to Congress or something like that here, that basically, if you wanted a kid that's going to be good in sports,
mm-hmm.
right, you could get the DNA and whatever together, and, you know, there you go.
Yeah. You want the somebody boys, who doesn't have a...
The Boys from Brazil.
Doesn't have the...
Do you remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. Gregory Peck.
Gregory Peck.
playing the part of... the fictional version of Dr. Mangala.
Yeah.
Which is just, Angel of Death.
Oh, it's...
I remember hearing stories about... I read little articles when I was a kid when I was picking up Starlog magazine, and they were talking about the boys from Brazil, and it's like... Because it had that whole science fiction-y aspect of geneticists
right.
and stuff like that. That whole concept of geneticist stuff has gone through multiple iterations of stuff on TV shows and so on like right. that. And it never bellies well for anybody.
So here's... I'm going to bring something else up. This is really weird. Chimera DNA. What happens is, and this is, they've seen this, where maybe there's two twins.
Okay.
One dies, and basically all that DNA goes into the other one and can carry two different strands of DNA and have the characteristics of, say they're not exact twins, you're not exact twins, but okay. they're together, that they'll have that characteristic of that other one, whatever.
How does it migrate, though?
It's interesting.
Are you talking about some sort of weird, like, genetic quantum entanglement?
Yes.
My brain just
And it's
hurt.
Called the Chimera effect. And you can have, people have two strands of DNA.
So you get... That's twice the amount of junk DNA. What the hell? That's just weird.
So, yeah. And so when we talk about engineering stuff, so when I grew up, we had great science teacher. But we talk about genetics.
Okay.
I mean, this is like over 40 years ago.
Okay.
And he's talking about it. We're talking about, he saw when he was in college that they had things that they were doing about genetics. And they had, like, people with alligator skin. It was that flaky. It was not flaky, but it had scales. We talked about this before, scales.
Now I've heard that there are genetic throwbacks that pop up every once in a
right.
while. And the scales were one thing.
Tail.
The tail or the excessive amount of hair.
Right.
You know, that causes the follicles to just go crazy and you become like the dog face boy. Woof, woof.
What about Bat Boy?
Bat Boy.
I'm sorry.
No, sorry.
Sorry.
National Enquirer should never be talked about in this. Why don't you take him like a Frankenstein? Here's another example of geneticism. Right?
Yeah, it is.
And literally using the electricity to do it. Maybe if if Victor Frankenstein had picked up on the idea of maybe you should use some more gold, maybe the body of the monster would have actually pulled together better. Instead of just falling apart and have to go up to the north to keep himself alive
at
the North Pole.
That's right. Yeah.
I didn't realize for the longest time what was happening to the monster until I started getting into the nuances of what Mary Shelley had written down about that. You know, and the fact is that a lot of the people that she was around at the time that book was being written was in, I think, before Bram Stoker had written anything about vampires specifically.
Right.
You know, that Polidori, who's the guy who wrote one of the vampire story initially, along at the same time, and they're hanging out with Shelley and all those guys. Watch the movie Gothic. That's always a fun one to watch. It's a weird movie by Ken...
It's off the tip of my tongue.
Anyway.
We always do our research and everything, but we want you to do your research. You should actually look stuff up. If you have a question about it, look it up. Don't look at one site only.
Never look at just one site. You just do a barrage of stuff. You can use kind of like a... Sometimes when I get prepared for this show and stuff like that, I'll do a shotgun approach, and I will take a couple different topics and I'll type them in and I'll start looking them up and I'll read the articles and or get an actual physical book to read up on.
Right.
There's always a book. Keep in mind, there's always a book. Somebody's always got something to tell. I've never picked up any of
ours. Is coming out. Never.
Yeah, never. God, I've already had some failed comic books. I'm not going to try to write a book. I think my comics are pretty fun, but whatever. there's always somebody who's got a story. I've never read any of Zachariah Sitchin's stuff,
right,
or the Chariot of the Gods or whatever, or the Ancient Astronauts or anything like that.
Eric
Von Daniken.
Yeah.
Daniken is another one.
Another one, yeah.
And a lot of these guys, you know, it's always a problem I have when they talk about ancient history or ancient astronaut theorists say yes. Well, of course they're going to say yes because it keeps them in power.
That's
it,
right.
It keeps them with a paycheck. It allows them to write these crazy theological discussions to pose,
right,
or postulate. I use the word postulate to put forth an idea in the general public's head. And unfortunately, because that reset button's been hit, a lot of that general populace pulls to those ideas, and it's like, oh my God, yeah, that's totally true. It's like, where's the solid data? Where's the raw data? I need to see something. It's like the guys that are working at Skinwalker Ranch. We only see the surface stuff that those guys are showing, that of critical stuff, as opposed to a lot of the other weirdness that goes around those areas.
Speaking of that, the guy who owns that,
yeah,
he was on one of the video blogs I was listening to, and he said basically what you see is only partial of what's happening. And they asked him, have you seen an alien? And he goes, I'm only telling him partial of what. So when he didn't answer, I knew he saw something that he shouldn't have saw.
Well, or he can't substantiate it,
right?
But it's like, if you knew more of what the fraction of stuff that we talk about,
yeah,
came out, you would be scared shitless.
Right.
You know? That was a topic that I heard earlier today. It's like, if you knew that there was a 12-foot guy at the foot of your bed, it cloaked, and was just standing there, and you're sleeping with your wife or whatever, and you wake up and you feel this presence there, how would you feel? I'd be freaked out, man.
I'd have to change the sheets.
Yeah. You can't get out of the bed.
No, I'd be going, honey, take care of this.
Oh, my God. I just shot myself. The whole engineering thing is an interesting quandary, because I think we've gotten to a point in humanity's evolution. And take that for what it is. The creation myths have a certain context that we always reference back to.
Right.
There are a lot of fundamentalists that still really follow those doctrines a lot of the time. But there needs to be a lot more openness. It's like, you need to be more open to the idea that maybe there was some intervention by some other intelligence. Look at 2001. It's a great example.
It is. Yeah.
You never see the actual creators of the obelisk. All you see is that obelisk landing in front of those apes in Africa.
Right.
And the moment that they touch it, that's when the change takes place. It's just a minor nudge. Now, you mentioned this earlier about that we have, there's a part of the brain that changed, an on-off switch we
right.
were talking about.
Yeah.
And was it a protein or amino acid?
Amino acids.
That
yeah.
allows most of humanity to have a much faster and a larger amount of neurons and transceivers within the human brain to allow us to process stuff much faster than we would have otherwise. But here's the question. What triggered it? Who triggered it? How did it happen?
That's what I said. Is there something in our DNA that at some time, like a time stamp, I'm saying, all of a sudden it's like, ting, and then we go, or we forget it and have to start over again?
Good question. I have no idea. I would like to think that there's been a trigger set up right now to avoid all the craziness and the chaos that's been going on.
Well, technically, to let everybody know, we are in the age of Aquarius right now, which is supposed to be...
Where's the song?
I'm not singing it.
Come on. Do it.
Let the sun shine.
I got it. Yes.
Let the sun shine in.
This is the age of Aquarius. Aquarius.
So, God.
Sorry. I apologize.
So,
not really.
This is supposed to be the time of enlightenment. So, technically, would they have? I've read that basically, like, religion is going to change, and enlightenment's going to come up more of, like, we understand this. This is, if you're doing yoga or, you know, your inner being is going to be enlightenment. So this
is the time. I've heard something similar through other venues and so on like that, that there is a vast amount of changes taking place within humanity. And
right.
And vibratory changes, moving from one kind of being to another.
Which would be... an engineered DNA change.
Correct. So,
what I've also read, this is interesting, for some astronauts that we don't know that they've sending up, and I believe that they've sent things up that we don't know about.
Okay.
That they have changed their DNA to actually be more livable in the environments.
So somebody experimented upon some of our astronauts or some astronauts?
It's people they've used that they're using there. Just like they talked about, if they're going to go to Mars, what do they need to change in their DNA?
Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about that before.
Yeah. So there's that. And, of course, you know, there's the moon, you know, on the dark side of the moon.
Yep.
That's, you know, we have bases there.
The dark side. Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, yeah. Great song.
Oh, yeah. Love that. Great album. If you don't have it, you should pick it up.
So
I get no proceeds off of this, nor does Paul, unfortunately.
We're sending these things out to everybody to look them up. Have fun. Do not go down the rabbit hole, okay? Just
how can you not say that? You've already given the rabbit hole. It's like Bugs Bunny's down at the bottom with a carrot.
I still got to tell you. Okay, we're going to talk about something real quick. So I was watching something today. It was a weird discovery show. And basically, this guy believed in the reptilians so much that he wanted to prove that they were there and that he would go hunt out for Lucinda. That sound familiar?
Wait, that was from that one interview that the guy had on Reddit, I think.
Right.
Years ago, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually a two-part story.
And this guy was hunting for her and couldn't find her and was friends with this lady and kept on saying that, you know, they're skinwalkers. They can change, right?
They cloud the minds of man.
Right. And so this is the guy that blew up his van in...
Is it Louisiana?
He blew up his van that blew up the AT&T building and everything went down. Everything. There's no communications. There's no 911. There is nothing.
Does anybody ever remember the movie They Live? I'm all out of bubble gum. If you haven't seen that movie, you should totally watch that one.
That's with the wrestler.
Roddy Piper.
Roddy, yeah.
Roddy Piper.
Yes.
And Keith David, one of the best street fights ever.
Oh, it's a great... Yeah, actually, the guy... we have a friend, John. He does choreography. He says that's one of the best ones that he's watched.
It's one of my favorites to watch. I remember watching it for the first time, and it's like... The time that that movie was made, during the Reagan years, if you will, right? Carpenter was trying to put forth a concept, but it had such far-reaching implications because you had an alien race of a bunch of space zombies. That's what they look like.
Yes.
Man, you sure got ugly, lady. Papa don't like you talking. But all the signs of, like, obey, reproduce, marry and reproduce.
Right.
Consume, sleep. I mean... And it's so prevalent. It's like every kid I see today is sleeping because all they do is they look at their phones all the time.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
It could be it. I mean, honestly, the government could be doing that. Who knows?
Just saying.
You know, there was a law that they passed that they couldn't do that.
Subliminals. Still a thing.
Coca-Cola had it. It was a big thing. And yeah.
Monitor what you watch.
Kevin Nealy. This is subliminal. Eat. We're talking about subliminal stuff. Take a drink.
Genetic engineering.
He'd be talking normal and pop something in.
DARPA is going to be chiming in here for a little bit, and it's like, watch this, guys. Watch this, guys. Life is out there. What are you talking about? I'm actually thinking about going out and getting some tacos today, eat some food, drink more beer. Actually, I don't know about that one. I think that one just kind of happens on a regular basis. Anyway, but the whole idea of engineering, I really do think that there's something to it. There's a lot of what we've already talked about, junk DNA that's in our system that has yet to have that timer or that switch ticked on.
Now, there's another one. We talked about the blood stuff, which would be DNA, mm-hmm. right? I forgot percentage. It's not of a high percentage, 5% of the world or something like that, actually has a DNA and in their blood, which is not from Neanderthal or from evolution type stuff, which would be, where does it come from?
Where does this extra strand come from or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
I've heard rumors that human DNA has, or the human body has, a vast variety of DNA, but only a couple strands are active currently.
Right.
And I think this junk DNA that these groups of people talk about has yet to be enacted upon. But because of this enlightenment that's taking place, is tapping into some of that junk DNA, and I'm using air quotes when I say that, that is being enacted upon and enlightening and evolving humanity to another level of some kind. Personally, my own take on it, and it is reflected in a lot of the artwork I do of recent times, that there's a lot of expansion and a lot of a rebirth. Hence the reason why the baby head shows up all the time in a lot of the work I do.
Yeah.
It's just a wild...
It's a rebirth, yeah.
It's a rebirth of something. When I showed a picture I've been doing recently, shows where the third eye is and there's a little bit of a hole. It's like, no, that's hollowed out so that third eye can actually just send out and receive things clearly. Not necessarily that I covered it up or it's dug into. It's there so it can beam out.
Right.
There's a lot of that stuff going on. Anyway, I mean...
I know what some people know what you mean by the third eye. You know, it's like your chakra is, you know, certain places on your body.
Yep. Power centers.
Power centers. Body. Yeah. So.
Yeah, the third eye or pineal gland, as some people call it, it's a peanut-sized shaped gland that actually exists in everybody's mind. But apparently, according to a lot of ads I've seen recently, your pineal gland has been calcified. Decalcify your pineal gland so you can activate your third eye. So, well, good on you, buddy. I'll start chanting and carrying my beads with me and all kinds of stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Which proves to us that sometimes our DNA just doesn't make us...
Yeah, I don't know. I wish somebody would come through and do a quantum-like string realignment on the DNA. And it's like, maybe that's all it takes is a vibration that just tunes everything in.
I'm sure that there's stuff being done that we just don't...
I'm sure of it. I mean...
Well, not anymore.
What?
Because everything's been cut.
Oh, man. Man. Boo.
Maybe the military did. They always have a good budget.
DARPA.
So we're getting to an area we don't want to talk about. So I think this is going to be the end of the show. So this is Paul.
This is Alan.
And this is Comedy Potpourri. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.